Then I'm next on the stack. I just have a brief question, but first, Aki, be sure that you mark Adriana as being on the call. I just have a brief question, because it's sort of a two-parter. I heard one of you mention earlier that as far as Texas is concerned, essentially the next action could happen without notice. I wonder if you could verify that for me. And my second question is whether or not we intend to file. Is there any reason at this time, from what you can see of our present situation, not to at least prepare to file?
As to the Texas one, the Texas judgment, I don't have the specifics on that. What Mr. Fernandez was referring to when the discussion came up about getting notice of the levy on bank accounts, that's a different animal than if they have a judgment. They can simply record that judgment in the abstracts in the county where real property is located, and that automatically creates a lien on that real property. It changes the creditor status for Empire State Building from an unsecured creditor to a secured creditor. And that raises what we talked about a little bit earlier, was the preference statute, and can we avoid that recordation to get rid of their secured status? And there may be issues with that. It may not be simple, and it may not even be possible, given the way I understand the assets of this case to be, that, again, asset rich, cash poor kind of thing. So I think that's the issue on Texas. Now, forgive me, what was the second one?
Just in light of our present situation, of everything that we know for sure, is there any reason not to at least prepare for Chapter 11?
Yeah, I do recall, and I recall it may have been 2.5-3 months ago, I had thought that had already been decided by the board, that those preparations should take place, and I believe it's take place.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. The next person is Adriana Kasanev. Adriana, you have the floor.
Thank you. First thing, I want to know if you are aware that this PMB has a motion asking for all the communications with our consultants be directed to the whole board, and at least with a specific member, not only by the IED and the CFO. First of all, I want to know if you are aware of that. The second question is, do you know that our fiduciary, do you agree that our fiduciary responsibility is to do the best for the foundation? And do you think that if we are so close to having a loan that will solve all the problems, disposing, going into bankruptcy and losing capital, possibility to lose decisions and getting rid of one of the best and biggest assets that the foundation has, that is the license of WBAI, that is our fiduciary responsibility as directors to vote for something that will create such a chaos when we are so close to make the right decision for this. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, please, can you ask the secretary not to interrupt, because I'm listening and everybody have all the time that they want and go back and forth. Please.
I agree. We have quite a bit of time for this item. So, Ms. Kasanev, go ahead and finish your question.
Okay. That was my question. Are you sure that our fiduciary responsibility is going into bankruptcy when we are so close to solve our issues, and if you are aware of the other issues that I already mentioned? Thank you.
Going back to your first question, you may have to clarify that, because I don't think I quite understood that one. The second one, with respect to the fiduciary duty, again, you have the immediate problem that you have to deal with, which is Empire State Building with a judgment that they say they're not going to collect on, but the board faces the real possibility that they're going to collect. So the question is, what is your fiduciary duties in that situation? So I don't think the idea that that the loan is imminent really changes that very much. I think the issue is, again, going back to some of the hypotheticals, if you could pay off the Empire State Building today, get a loan where you guys have the breathing spell you guys need, then I think that's a good exercise of your fiduciary duties. But as you sit here today, you do not have an agreement with the Empire State Building to not execute on your assets. And that's where the problem lies right now. I get that. I apologize, but I didn't quite catch the first question. I'm not sure what. Am I aware of what? I wasn't quite sure there.
Let me try to clarify. First of all, you know that exactly this exercise to go to the stream and talk about bankruptcy was exactly what moved the Empire State Building to go to a judgment. Ask for bring us to a court and ask for a judgment. And this is exactly what is going on, because this what we are talking obviously will move Empire State Building. They have not. I don't think that it's ridiculous to think that if they can receive the whole payment in a short period of time, will go to such an extreme where assets. You know, when that will be a lengthy and costly process for them. That is first. And we know that all of this is going on. But what I tried to say at the beginning is this board, the Pacifica National Board of Directors, that is the only body of this foundation that have the right to make those decisions, already decide that our consultants and our lawyers shouldn't be contacting one-on-one with the IED and the CFO. We already passed some motion saying that need to be present some other directors, because obviously the back and forth was not the right back and forth between the lawyers, and you were not communicating what this board decided. I don't know if you are aware of that.
No, I'm not aware of that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Anyone else who wants to be on the stack?
No, Bill. The last question, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, but was if our lawyer believe that Empire State want to go to a lengthy and costly process instead of solving the problem in a few days or in a short period of time. Do you think that makes sense in the point of view of a financial institution or any institution for the matter?
Right. I appreciate the question. If I'm Empire State Building, they want to get paid. They want to get paid. And if that's
the fastest,
Well, there's the fastest way, and execution on bank accounts is a pretty fast way to get paid.
Unless expensive.
And so is a loan. There's various courses, but we don't have the assurance that they're not going to try to do something with the bank account.
Okay. Thank you.
Alex on the stack.
Okay. I have Bill, then Alex. Does anyone else want to be on the stack? Okay.
Sabrina.
Bill, go ahead. Then Sabrina. Got you.
Okay, thanks. That's Bill Crozier, and thank you again for joining us, Phil, with the whole board. You'd mentioned that, you know, the filing of the judgment in Texas puts an automatic lien on the property. One of our board members, who's a attorney in Texas, also confirmed that. Now, in California, they can't do that until the 30 days of until January 12th. Is that correct?
Right. They cannot take any actions to enforce that judgment right now.
But as of January 12th, if we don't take any action, then they could file a judgment there, get a similar lien, which would give them a preferred position. Like, maybe you could explain what that means, having a preferred position if they filed that in California after January 12th, and what that would, you know, what would mean to our property in Los Angeles and Berkeley.
Right. They would essentially at that point in time have a lien that would be a cloud on title on the Berkeley and the Los Angeles properties. and they would be entitled to look to those properties in satisfaction of that lien. So if you guys were to sell it or to do anything, they would have to get paid because they've now put themselves in a secured creditor position versus a regular vendor creditor, let's call it, who wouldn't have any rights as to that specific property. So that's kind of the difference. By obtaining a lien, it puts them in a secured creditor position, which gives them greater rights in the bankruptcy case.
And also the right to allow us to get a loan, perhaps. Correct.
Say that again. I didn't quite.
You don't have the floor. Well, don't speak, but more importantly, mute your phone because there's still a little bit of odd background noise. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Yeah, so that is, I suppose, well, essentially then, if we're going to do something, we'd need to get it before January 12th in order to better protect the properties in California. Is that what you're saying?
Right, and we may want to, Bill, I noticed there was some question. I have not seen, I reviewed the docket today in the California case. I don't see that the judgment has been entered yet. So I'm not entirely clear if the 30 days has begun to run. In other words, I know they applied to get the judgment entered, but I don't see the actual judgment yet entered in California. So it's a little bit unclear to me. I know they served the board with their application and their request and their proposed service of the judgment on us, but I don't think they've gotten the judgment yet. So that may change the thing.
Okay, maybe Ford could comment on that too.
I was just looking. My recollection is that what was served was a notice of entry of judgment. And based on the California Code of Civil Procedure, the serving of the notice of entry is the functional equivalent of entry. And so if upon review of the papers, and it's my recollection that what was served was a notice of entry, I think the clock is ticking.
Okay. I'll defer to Ford on that one. It just, nevertheless, the time's running. It's, you know, or it's going to be running shortly.
Okay. Next person on the stack is Alex Steinberg. Mr. Steinberg.
Okay, I have a couple of questions.
Edmund, can you put me on the stack?
Okay.
Yeah, one of my questions is a little bit of a revisit of something we've been discussing, but a little bit of a different perspective on it. If, as we are now told, that the clock is running and we have to, whatever the date is, sometime early in January, I guess, does it still not make sense to pursue a loan if there's a good reason to think that we can obtain the loan prior to that, whatever that deadline is, and in that way, we don't need, as somebody else brought up, we don't have to worry about whether Empire will give us a forbearance agreement or not. We just, as long as we know that we will have the money in hand to pay off the judgment. We can do that at the same time as we are making some preparations for a Chapter 11 filing if we feel we need to do that. I don't see why. So I think we could still pursue a loan as an alternative to a bankruptcy filing and at the same time prepare for a bankruptcy filing if we feel that is necessary. And the other question I'd like to ask is, do you know, I understand there are dangers in not filing for bankruptcy, but there are also dangers in filing for bankruptcy. One of the dangers that I've been told about is that some entities that file for bankruptcy fail to ever get out of bankruptcy. Do you have any idea what the percentages are of those who file for bankruptcy and are able to make a successful exit from bankruptcy and those who file for bankruptcy and fail to make that successful exit? And what are the consequences of failing to make a successful exit from bankruptcy?
Right. Going back to your first question, I think with respect to California and the continuing to work to get a loan, I think that works as to the California assets and the real properties, but I don't think that works as to Texas and to New York. I'm not a Texas lawyer and I'm not a New York lawyer, but I don't think that I believe we're at risk there for execution on the judgment. So, again, not a Texas expert, not a New York law expert, but in California, I think that would be right. I think we would have some time in California. Exactly what that time is, I'll defer to the other members and to Ford on that one. But generally, we're still at risk as to the other assets in New York and Texas, as I understand it. And the second question is, do I know the percentages? I guess I'll say it this way. The best bankruptcy cases are those where you go in and you've already determined what your exit strategy is going to be. In other words, you've thought through what you can do and what you can accomplish. You've turned around the business operations. You're headed in the right direction. And you're in a position to put forward a plan that creditors will likely vote in favor of and that will likely work down the road. That's the ultimate goal. We may not have that luxury here. But there are some real things that are going to have to happen. Operations are going to have to turn around, or there's going to have to be some liquidity event to deal with the creditors in this bankruptcy case. Now, how much time will a court give us to do that? Not exactly sure. There's a tendency in a nonprofit situation to give the benefit of the doubt to the debtor for a particular period of time, but that time period is flexible and can change over time. So as the case progresses, it's my former partner, who is now a bankruptcy judge, always said that a Chapter 11 is not like a fine wine. It doesn't get better with age. So the longer you're in bankruptcy is not necessarily a good thing. You want to get in and you want to get out if possible. Here, that might not be entirely possible if the swap of a license is something that needs to occur and that takes some time, but that's understandable given that this is not a simple situation and it's complex. Now, percentages on plans getting confirmed, I don't have that data readily available. I'll tell you this, that it's sometimes easier to get a plan confirmed than it is to actually follow through and do what you say you're going to do in the plan. Because a lot of courts like to get the plans confirmed. It looks good on their docket. They get it off their stack of things to work on. But the entity was not really in a position to survive on a going-forward basis. And they often end up back in Chapter 11, or they liquidate, or some other thing happens along the road. So there's plenty of examples of that. And you're right. Bankruptcy is a difficult arena, and the task here is not simple because we're not going into bankruptcy under the best circumstances. We're, in a sense, being forced to do it without having all of the ducks lined up, which is not a preference from my standpoint, but it may be the only alternative. So I hope that somewhat answered your question. I wish I had all the percentages, but oftentimes confirmed plans fail just because the debtor can't do what they say they're going to do on a go-forward basis.
Just to clarify, there really are no assets in New York of any substance. There's a bank account, but there is no real estate. The bank account is relatively insignificant compared to the debts we owe. There is of course an asset in Texas, and that's the KPFC building. But that's about it.
Okay. The next person on the stack is Sabrina. Hold it, Aki. Where are we at time for this item? Aki?
Let me check. Hang on. We have 90 minutes, so we have about 18 minutes, and that's it.
Okay. Next person on the stack is Sabrina Jacobs.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Strzok. Just wanted to verify that under bankruptcy, if we elect to do a signal swap, that it would be quicker to push that through or have that go through and process, since we wouldn't have to worry about a vote of the membership. Is that correct, since everything is it's frozen and paralyzed, if you would?
I'm not sure if that's actually correct. I think that the bankruptcy would require you in a nonprofit situation to comply with applicable law, and right now we're bound by our bylaws and other provisions that we operate under Pacifica, so it may need to go out to a membership vote. But there may come a point in time, and I know Mr. Fernandez raised this in his email, that if the members don't agree to do that, then it may become quite possible that we would have to let a trustee be appointed in this case to potentially put through a license swap and get it done. We're still going to need FCC approval, and that may take time. And we would ultimately get that blessed by the bankruptcy court. So I'm not quite sure on the premise that we wouldn't need to still jump through all of the hoops, for the most part, that we would if there were no bankruptcy pending.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Last person on the stack is Jan Goodman.
And then Bill.
Oh, and
Jonathan,
Bill.
I'd like to be on the stack. This is Grace.
Okay, hang on. Let me shout it out then here. I got Jan, Bill, Grace. Anyone else want to be on the stack?
Alex again.
Okay. Okay, lost my place. Jan. Go ahead.
So if the Empire State Building gets a lien on the real property, wouldn't that make it then more difficult to get a loan either in or outside bankruptcy? So if you could get a loan immediately and you were thinking that a loan would be a good way to pay off Empire State Building and not have them, you know, breathing down our necks, wouldn't am I correct that having a lien would make it more difficult and possibly impossible to get a loan?
Yes, I agree with. I think a cloud on title would make it more difficult.
So if you had a possibility of getting a loan next week, wouldn't it make sense to get it now rather than wait till you get into bankruptcy, and then at that point you might be already having the property that's leaned, that has a lien on it?
Right. I get it. I think the problem lies in Texas. Is there's nothing that from what I've heard, and I'm not opining on this, is that nothing stops them from encumbering your property by recording an abstract in Texas to put a lien on the property today if they wanted to, or tomorrow.
Right.
So I agree that taking steps to get the loan done, again, if we knew Empire State Building wasn't going to do that, it's kind of the old circle here. Step one, have the Empire State Building say they're not going to enforce their judgment. Or if step two would be, hey, if we could pay them off today, but I'm not sure we're there either.
Okay, so assuming that they're not going, I think we have to assume they're not going to sign a forbearance agreement because they don't seem, they haven't done it, and I sort of live my life and practice law. What you see is what you get. And at this point, we're not getting a forbearance agreement, doesn't seem to me. So if we can get a loan, even if we had to pay, 10 or 11% today, if we had a plan on how we were going to pay it back, then at least, long enough to get a longer-term loan, doesn't it make sense to just get that loan, get it in place, and then continue to prepare for bankruptcy if we have to? But if we get the loan, we can pay off the Empire State Building and not have to worry about them doing all these various things.
Right. I think what we're talking about is the risk between now and getting that loan. I think that's the area of risk. I mean, if you had the loan and you could pay off Empire State Building tomorrow and that's what everyone decided to do, then there's no need for the bankruptcy filing immediately. You still have the bigger cash flow concerns and other problems you need to address, but the immediate need for the bankruptcy is not there if Empire State Building is gone.
And it's just mathematically, from a, you know, economic point of view, if your retainer agreement was $150,000, just as a number, which it might be higher or lower, then, you know, a $1 million loan, a $2 million loan, the interest rate at 1% a month, just to make it easy, is
12%, right.
It's 12%. Our figure was 10%, just to make it. It's $2 million, it's $20,000 a month, is that right? $2 million, $20,000 a month? Yeah. So you'd have a lot of months between using up $150,000 worth of retainer for a bankruptcy. That is to say, you'd have 14 months, I guess. Essentially, am I doing the math right, or am I totally wrong here? 20,000 times 7 months.
I went into law.
7 months. 7 months. You'd have 7 months of interest payments equals one retainer agreement. Am I doing that right? 20,000 times 7 is 140,000. Yes. Okay. Thank you. All right. Am I correct on that?
I think that's a correct analysis.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, the next person on the stack is Bill Crozier.
Okay, thank you. Just first, just to clarify, I'm sure how much this difference was makes, but regarding New York, there are assets available through there because we have a Bank of America checking account, for example. We have another national bank checking account there. I won't mention the name of the stream, and two of our other units use that same bank. So wouldn't they be at risk immediately? And I've got a follow-up question, but I'll let you answer that first.
I think the answer to that is, as we talked to New York Council a couple of weeks ago, the answer to that would be yes.
Okay. Because that could put both the national office and KPFK, for example, at risk immediately. And also the... you know, the loan, we did get, there was a loan that we were looking at last month, and I'm not sure which one Jan's talking about, but it was, I'll just say the conditions were awful. Maybe they can be fixed, I don't know. But the only other one we have that's a possibility, we haven't seen the loan terms or anything, but the person looking for it is saying that it, you know, probably be around something like 45 days before it would be available. So clearly that would be after the January 12th date. So I'm not sure if that makes a difference. And then... further, I was going to say that, you know, or this is more of a question, in bankruptcy, because the main purpose is to give us time to pay off debts. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that would, and some of our concerns are that the frequency swaps we've looked at so far, we don't like any of them really, but wouldn't that give us more time to perhaps look for some other way? Either maybe another swap would come along, or maybe we really could do a bigger major fundraising campaign over a period of a few years and pay the stuff off. That's what people are talking about. We haven't done it yet, but isn't that the purpose of bankruptcy, to give us time to do that sort of thing?
The purpose of the bankruptcy is to kind of give you a breathing spell and put a halt on litigation to allow you guys to try to put forth a reorganization plan. And that may give you the time you need to evaluate all the different alternatives. And like I said, courts are fairly deferential to debtors in the beginning. That erodes over time when they don't see progress in a case. And there is the potential that a court would tire of, you know, the promises and things that don't happen and could look to other alternatives at some point, or would give creditors relief other than what they say. But I think generally the concept is, yes, you would have some time in bankruptcy to evaluate alternatives and decide what you need to do. I think the caveat there, Bill, is that you guys have immediate cash flow need problems, and once you file bankruptcy, you need to pay your creditors on a timely basis, on a go-forward basis. So it's kind of a, you know, a benefit on one side but a burden on the other, in that you're going to have to stay current with vendors and pay everything you need to pay on a go-forward basis. It'll put a hold on the old debt, and that would have to be dealt with through a plan, but on a go-forward basis, the court is going to want assurances that creditors are going to get paid, and you guys might need to get DIP financing, debtor-in-possession financing, to get you guys over the hump as far as operational obligations go.
Okay. So we could still get a loan in bankruptcy due to that, in other words?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next on the stack is Grace and then Alex. Grace?
Yes, sorry. I'd like to state that we were told that Empire State is already charging us 9% interest on the money we owe them, plus penalties. I know, Phil, that you're conversant with the contract with Empire State. The reason that this is important is that taking a loan would not add new debt, but simply transfer debt from what we owe Empire State to a different lender who's not trying to foreclose, seize our assets. Now, you're conversant with our contract with the SRT. Is what I'm saying correct?
Well, it really is not a matter of contract law. It's a matter of judgment law, that they're getting a 9% interest rate on their judgment going forward. Plus, they're also accruing their fees and expenses under the contract on a go-forward basis. So they have a judgment through a certain period of time, and then there's additional fees and costs on a go-forward basis that are accruing currently that need to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form.
So essentially, taking a loan at, let's say, 9 or 11% interest would probably be less expensive than continuing to stall Empire State. Or possibly it would be an even swap.
It would be kind of a push to give up a few interest points, it looks like. So it looks like it might be somewhat of a push. I guess the question is, long-term, what do you guys want to do with the Empire State Building? You're kind of stuck under that lease and license as it stands now, absent them agreeing to let you out. I don't think they've done that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next in the stack is Alex Steinberg.
Okay. Phil. Some people have been theorizing that in a bankruptcy, the creditors would, as a first priority, would insist that we sell or swap our signals. And it seems to me that given the length of time that takes, the requirement for membership approval, for FCC approval, plus the possibility that there would be complaints with the FCC that could postpone such transactions, wouldn't the creditors be much more likely to insist on the sale of real estate, as that is likely to proceed much quicker than a signal swap or a signal sale?
Well, I think the answer to that question is that's a complicated question, and it gets to the heart of the Chapter 11 process and what can happen in the bankruptcy. There is likely in this case, for those of you that don't know, there will be a creditors committee that will likely be appointed that would be representative of the creditors. They will have their own counsel, and they will take positions on things in the case. And they will push for what they think is in the best interest of the creditors. That doesn't mean that they necessarily have a veto power over everything that happens or control what happens in the bankruptcy case. They can push for certain things to happen, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be happen. As long as Pacifica, I believe, is making good progress and in good faith to try to resolve the creditors' claims, then the court will be less inclined to force a liquidation of the real property assets to pay off creditors immediately, and would be more inclined to allow a reorganization process that doesn't impact Pacifica in that way and allows Pacifica to stay true to their mission. So although there are risks, certainly, in a bankruptcy, nothing is a foregone conclusion, and creditors may push for an early dismissal, keep in mind that for a nonprofit corporation, there is no absolute right to convert this case to a liquidation. We would have to agree to let that happen. So the likely remedy for the creditors committee would be to either try to propose their own plan or seek the appointment of a trustee that may be more inclined to do something along the lines that they want to have done. But generally, bankruptcy is a negotiation process, and we would try to keep the board and management in control as long as possible, and we would be the ones, hopefully, dictating with the input from the committee and other parties in interest of how the case proceeds and what type of reorganization plan makes sense. But you're right, there's risks in any bankruptcy case.
Yeah. Do you think it's likely, though, that either the bankruptcy judge or the creditors committee would agree to wait 2 years or more for a signal swap to run its course in order to get paid?
I think this case presents unique circumstances that this is a nonprofit corporation. We're not out to line the pockets of equity holders, and we're trying to do what's right for Pacifica and its mission to go forward. And if the swap makes more sense, then that's certainly something that could be proposed. And a judge is really not going to be the one. The judge is just going to weigh whatever is brought in front of him. If it's our plan or if it's the committee's motion to do something different, he's just going to weigh it and see what's in the best interest. But I think as long as Pacifica is acting in good faith and working to move this case forward and doing things that will ultimately be able to resolve the creditor's claims, short of necessarily selling the real property, then I think that is a real possibility of being successful. Now, again, there's always that fine line, the continuum of when does the court tire of the case? Is it at the one-year point? Is it 18 months in? Is it 2 years in that the court just, or the creditors just say, enough is enough, this isn't working, we got to find some other solution. And that's a possibility.
This is Grace with a point of personal privilege.
Okay, you're also next on the stack.
I am again. Okay.
I'm sorry. No, I had Bill Grace and Alex.
I think that's an old thing.
What's your point of personal privilege?
Nancy Sorden and Jim Brown have emailed that they can't get on the call. There's some
right,
package or busy.
Emailing them back now, and I got the same message about Mansoor Sabah.
Although Mansoor is on now, right?
Okay. I don't know. Are you Mansoor? And then I was trying to send you a thing about Jim so we could get Jim on. Hang on.
Will be really interesting. I asked the secretary to please let us know who were the ones that you said that you have quorum, and you are mentioning a lot of people that were not here, even me. I want to have that list, okay, of the people that approved quorum for this meeting, because he said
we took roll call at the beginning of the meeting.
But you were not
right now. I'm sorry, Adriana. We have two members who are having problems getting on the meeting, and that's what I'm trying to deal with right now. I sent Aki, you could possibly give them a different code and see if that would work. That was the email I was trying to send.
I sent an alternate member to Jim, and I can send one to Nancy.
Okay, now we go back to Grace, then Alex. Grace?
Okay, what do you think the chances are that we will wind up with a trustee in control of Pacifica, and that the bylaws and the board of directors will be set aside, and that the signal swap could be speeded along in bankruptcy by a trustee and or the judge? And how much power does the judge have in bankruptcy court? Can the judge just overrule our bylaws? I know you've partially answered this, but I'd like a little bit more clarification.
Well, I think the way it stands now is Pacifica would go into bankruptcy with its current management and its current board operating under its current bylaws. And the judge only decides motions that are brought before the judge. He cannot sua sponte do things in the bankruptcy case without it being brought to his attention or his or her attention by parties in interest that think something should happen. So, again, the likelihood of a trustee being appointed based on the facts that I know now are not great. It would be based on fraud or dishonesty, gross mismanagement, incompetence. Those are some of the grounds for the appointment of a trustee. I don't think those exist at this point in time. Maybe there comes a point in time that some of the other grounds for the appointment of a trustee of what's in the best interest of creditors and what's in the best interest of other parties in interest will start to gain a foothold if we're not making progress. And that's part of the key to this is working in good faith to get something done on a go-forward basis. If the swap takes some time, it doesn't mean that we can't confirm a plan that basically provides for a license swap to happen in the future, and then the proceeds of the sale would go to creditors like this, this, and this. That's something that could be done. It doesn't actually necessarily have to be entirely completed before a bankruptcy plan could be confirmed. It would go towards whether or not that's feasible, whether it's likely that's going to happen. So there is, again, a period of time where the debtor will get the benefit of the doubt. And in this case, with a nonprofit corporation, that may be a significant period of time. I can't pinpoint whether that's going to be 6 months, a year, year and a half, where the landscape may change and things may be different. But if the board and management are working in good faith to make something happen, then I think we would stay in control and try to get something done.
All right, thank you very much. Next person on the stack is Alex Steinberg.
I'm sorry, points of excellence and privilege, Mr. Chair. We still have a lot of members that cannot call in. What is going on?
Okay, I don't know. We have...
Well, you better know, because this is the implemented.
I'm sorry, Ms. Krasinev. You can yell at me all day. It's not going to give me any more information. I'm just telling you what I know.
I'm trying
also to get an email and see if Aki is able to get the other codes to them. One is from Luis Diaz. I also want to remind folks, if you do have problems calling in and you email the board, say so in the subject line, because what's happening if you reply to a subject line that we've been replying to back and forth all week. I got 100 emails today, literally in the last 24 hours, just a little bit over 100 emails, and please put in the subject line that you can't get on the call or something like that, so we know what's going on. It's my understanding right now that Aki is sending other codes to see if folks could call in. When this meeting adjourns, I'm going to try to restart the system and see if that helps. But it's all unpredictable. I have no idea. That's all I can do. Alex, you have the floor.
Okay, let me just give you a hypothetical. Suppose we are trying to negotiate a loan with a lender, and the lender is not ignorant and knows that there is a possibility of bankruptcy, but we're telling the lender that if we go ahead with the loan, that will obviate the necessity of a bankruptcy. Now, if we're saying that to the lender, and at the same time, other people are saying, yes, we want a loan, but we want bankruptcy to follow the loan, or we want a loan within the bankruptcy, wouldn't that tend to undermine the confidence of the lender? That's just sort of a hypothetical. I just want to also, while I'm here, just before I forget, just return to the last point you made, that in a bankruptcy proceeding, our bylaws remain intact, the Pacifica National Board remains intact. I think that's an important point, because some people have been under the belief that a bankruptcy would allow us to get out from under our bylaws, which are indeed quite cumbersome and in many ways unworkable. And I wish we had a way to get out of these bylaws, but it doesn't seem like a bankruptcy is the way to do that.
Well, I think the answer to your hypothetical is that under those that scenario, then the lender may not have the confidence they need. But I've had a conversation with Mr. Hand, who's, I guess, trying to negotiate some of the loans, and he's well aware of the bankruptcy implications and what could happen on a go-forward basis. So most lenders are aware of the bankruptcy scenario and what could happen in a bankruptcy scenario. So I don't know how detrimental that would be, but it may be working across purposes, and, you know, I get the point.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Not only was Alex the last person on the stack, but I believe that we're at time for this item. Is that correct, Mr. Secretary? Aki? Okay, have we lost Aki? Aki, are you there?
I think he was sending codes, new codes to people. Did any of the other people get back on that had dropped?
Okay, let me look. No, I just got another email from Nancy. She wants to list the names of the people that are on the call. I don't know how that helps me.
I see. Jonathan, it's Grace. I see emails from Benito saying he can't get on, Jim saying he can't get on, Nancy still can't get on. Mansoor seems to be dropped, so we have a real problem here, it seems.
We do.
And I couldn't during an old period.
In
situations like this, there are surprisingly few things to do other than reboot, and as you can imagine, if I restart the system, we will all be disconnected, which would be a good solution, except for we will all be disconnected. And we're
Jonathan.
Yes, Aki.
Let me just try one thing here. It won't take too long.
Okay, if you got those guests, those, I think we seem to have three guests. Maybe that's
Nancy here.
Somebody's making it.
Right, hang on just a minute.
Nancy here.
Oh, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Yes. Yeah. My point of order was to have another roll call vote since the streaming was not working till about halfway through the meeting, so quorum has not been verified in the open meeting yet.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Otis said our stream was good the whole time. I know there's a new pop-up on the Pacifica page. I don't know if that affected anything, but it's about net neutrality. So, no, that's no problem. We can have Aki call roll. I'm not sure if we have Jim and Benito.
Well, we should have quorum without.
Well, yeah, we have quorum.
We
can go ahead and.
It was not on the stream. There was no way.
Go ahead and verify who's on. Aki, you want to go ahead and I guess take a quick roll call.
Yeah, we can do a roll call. Hang on just a minute.
A point of information, Catherine, please.
Yes, Catherine, what's your question?
I have no problem with taking roll, but I would like to have the original roll repeated as well to verify that, in fact, that it was quorum.
But we didn't hear it, so we can't verify it.
That should be
a right idea, but I mean, I don't know if Aki can. He could just repeat to us the role that he took initially when he said there was quorum, and then take role right now.
If you could role right now, that would be sufficient.
So either way, start, we can get on with the meeting.
Okay. So we're going to do a roll call? Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's do that. Grace Allen?
Here.
Okay, Grace is here. Jonathan Alexander?
Here.
John Newsky, David Beaton? David Beaton? All right. Jim Brown? All right. Adriana Kasanev?
Not at the beginning, but yes now. You cannot
see. Okay.
You need to prove to me that you have.
Bill Folger?
I'm here.
Bill Folger? Okay. Catherine Davis?
Here.
Okay, Catherine Davis here. Benito Diaz? Okay, Rhonda Garner? All right, Jan Goodman? Jan Goodman?
I'm here.
It's a good friend of here. Sabrina Jacobs? Sabrina Jacobs?
Here.
Jacobs here. Ken Lofer?
Here.
Lofer is here. Robert Mark?
Present.
Mark is here. Steven Roberts? Okay. Mansoor Sabah? Mansoor? Kian Spugs?
Here.
PM is here. Okay. Nancy Soden?
Here.
Nancy is here. Alex Steinberg?
Here.
Tanaka is here. Timba Timba?
Oh, the background noise.
Timba?
Sounds like Chris.
Okay, Timba is on.
I'm
okay.
Here.
Andrea Turner?
This is great.
Andrea Turner?
Present.
Turner is here. Mosquito? Mosquito?
Here.
Mosquito is here. Okay. All right.
Dave Beaton is here.
Okay, Dave Beaton is here. Okay. Thank you.
Do we have, I'm sorry, I didn't hear, do we have Jim Brown and Benito Diaz?
No, I don't see Jim Brown, although I think that, Jim, are you on now?
I'm on now.
Jim? Okay, Jim is on. All right.
I'm on.
Jim is on.
All right.
Okay.
What about Benito?
Yeah, I think I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got to the top.
Good. How many people is that, Aki?
Mansoor couldn't get on either.
Mansoor, I think he's back.
I think that he's on, though.
Looks like he's here. Mansoor, are you here?
Anyway, we've got 21 people at the moment, so.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like 21 to me.
Let's see.
I only counted
19 people.
You didn't...
All right.
No.
I don't have Celine, and I don't have Rhonda Garner.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two that, you know, I don't have.
You said that just... I have 16. I have 16 that are on now.
No, I have
there
were
16 before.
Only missing
No, there's Grace, there's Jonathan, David, Jim Brown, Adriana, Bill Kozer, Catherine, Benito is on, Jan Goodman is on, Sabrina is on, Ken Lofer is on, Robert Mark is on, Tian Skrug is on, Nancy is on, Alex is on, Aki is on, Timber is on, Andrea is on, Muscular is on, and Mansoor is on and off, and then two that sat on is Wanda and Serene.
Right. David Beaton, you said, I didn't hear his answer.
Yeah, he said he's on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're going to get back
to
then.
Okay, so...
But I'll remind you, if we are having problems
doesn't sound
with
like
system,
you were able to call the meeting originally. Doesn't sound like
the smartest thing to do will be when the open session adjourns for Miyake and Sabrina to restart the browsers, to close the browsers, open them back up so the Maestro system has a chance to restart. That's the only real troubleshooting I can do. It's a reboot, folks. But reboots work like over 80% of the time. On
it shouldn't
plan.
Be better to have a system that doesn't allow this manipulation, sir.
Well, I mean, if it accuses of manipulating things, that's fine, but I'm just saying, I'm just telling you, a reboot solves most problems 80% of the time, whatever it is, your computer, whatever. That's all I'm saying. And that's all I can do to improve this situation is to try a reboot. If the board doesn't want me to, I'm fine. We can keep on going like this. But my job is to troubleshoot technical problems. At any rate, we need to get back to the engine.
Can you tell us, what's happening? We are not...
Jonathan?
Yes. Aki?
We have still guests on the line, so what do you want to do was, you know, instead of going through all of our...
back to where we are.
Which
item of that item on the agenda? The consultation portion.
Okay, so we're at the end of the time for that. So what do you want to do?
What was approved before? And who approved?
No one has asked for an extension of time on that item. We would go.
I move to extend for 10 minutes, Mr. Chair. I move to extend for 10 minutes, Mr. Chair. This is Sabrina. I move to extend for 10 minutes, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, point of information.
Yes, Ms. Kasanev.
Second, can you tell us what happened at the beginning of the meeting that we cannot hear and we couldn't get in? Was the agenda approved? How was it? Because we received different agendas. How did it work?
Are you asking what the current agenda is or where we are on the agenda?
No, what was approved? What happened? When? Who approved it? Because we were not able to get it.
Chair?
Uh-huh.
Could we just go ahead with the meeting, please?
Yeah.
I can tell you where we are on the agenda, but the agenda was approved. That was all done. I apologize if you have problems getting on. But to be honest with you, technically speaking, there is no way for me to verify what caused the problem. However, some of you did email me what the system was saying, and that's extremely helpful, and I appreciate it. That's the only way to troubleshoot anything. I'm sorry. This is just how it works.
Is there any way that can anybody through the sub-quorum to do that call?
Sorry, wait. I need to figure out what your question
is. Can you call the member to order, please?
No, I'm asking her what her question is, because it sounds like maybe it's relevant. But if you keep interrupting her, I can't hear her, and then we'll keep going back and forth. It won't take her all day. Just she's trying to say something, and I don't understand what it is. Please, Ms. Kasanev.
Chair, could we go on over to the guest, please?
You stopped it. Can you ask the secretary not to interrupt when you give me the floor, sir?
I understand. Unless all we can do is we have to extend time. She was asking something about the beginning of the meeting. I just want to verify, move on as quickly as I can.
Sir. You have Director Catherine Davis asking for the quorum, to prove the quorum at the beginning of the meeting, no, right now, because you said that all of that was approved, and we don't even have proof that we have quorum then. That was
okay, I'm sorry, but I understand what you say now, but I was really far from understanding it before. Now I understand. I don't know if Aki can do that or not, can honor Kasanev's request. I had no objection to it. Aki, if you still have, I remember the last person to make quorum was Ken Lawford. That's what I remember. If you have the list of those people, you could read that, and then you're going to get on to Sabrina's
right?
Well, Chair, it's all on the public record, so it's all open session. And when we called the meeting, when we started the meeting, we had 14 people, and so it's all in the public record, so there's no point in arguing over this issue.
But we cannot...
There's also my understanding that whether or not the stream... now I'm receiving a bunch of emails from people saying they heard the stream from the beginning, including quorum, with no problem. Or I'm not sure who Jim Kraft is. At any rate, if the secretary can read those names off right now, we're just...
Okay, so we'll deal with this after we talk to the lawyer. Could we deal with this after we...
which was not occurring earlier. And maybe it would be better to deal with this after the fact. Because we have a guest on the line, and his time is not unlimited, as he is an attorney.
And I have one I have a couple questions, Nancy.
So we have a motion that's been seconded to extend for 10 minutes, but also we had people come on the line that were not on the line earlier, and they may also have questions. So are there any objections to extending time for 10 minutes on this item?
This is Grace. I'd like to suggest that we extend. I'd like to suggest that we extend time for 20 minutes to give the people who are not able to get on a chance to ask questions.
This Bill, Mansoor still can't get in. I don't know who else might be trying.
Kidding.
I think we should just reboot the system, continue the meeting.
It will take a long time for everybody to get back on. Let me just see if I can look at a text from Mansoor and help him, because he's the only person who's not on. You know, and to be honest with you, if I reboot the system, it may not solve the problem. It may make it worse.
Can you patch him in? Can you patch
him in? That's what I'm thinking,
Nancy. You know, this is Jen. I can.
Did somebody else add him as a three-way call? Because I can't do it from where
I'm going to text him and tell him to call someone. Hold on.
Not me.
I'm writing the word.
I have to call him. I can't have him call me. It's Jen.
This is Ford Green. I'm going to have to go. I've got an 8 o'clock appointment.
She's going to make our extension moot.
I don't know if
Mansoor, I sent Mansoor a message. She's going to connect with Jan in a moment, and he'll be back on the line. So we're going to go to, I'm going to ask one more time, if there are any objections to extending time for 20 minutes, or as long as he can stay with us. Hearing none. I don't even have a person next to ask you questions. Nancy. Nancy had a question. Does anyone want to be on the stack after Nancy? Okay, Nancy, please ask your question.
Thank you. I had two questions. They may have already been answered. I don't know. Can you, how much will it cost to prepare for bankruptcy, number one? And if we file for bankruptcy, how soon after we file are our assets protected? And are there any intermediate steps that would protect us?
The answer to the first question of how much will it cost, we talked about this the last time, and the cost to get the bare bones petition done are not significant. It's whatever our hourly rate is for the time that it takes to get it done. So that's kind of the answer to that question. I suspect that would be in the 10 to 15 to 20 range, depending on the necessity for us to be involved or for Mr. Fernandez to be involved in that process. Pardon?
And the bare bones filing protects you?
The bare bones filing, the filing of the bare bones filing creates the automatic stay, which puts a halt to the collection efforts immediately.
Thank you. Okay.
I have a quick question.
But you don't proceed with bankruptcy until you go further. Is that correct?
No, you're in bankruptcy once you file that voluntary petition.
Okay.
It's not a halfway. Yeah.
So as soon as you file it, your assets are protected.
Your assets are protected, and you're in bankruptcy at that point in time.
As soon as you file.
Correct.
Immediately. Okay, I'm not going to ask my question.
I answered all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions for Mr. Strzok?
Oh, Jan Goodman.
Ms. Goodman.
So you said that, you know, to get started, you gave a figure. But then what's your retainer once we get started? Or
I think we can wait until
is the number that you gave us in closed session a while ago, that's still the number?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we know what that number is. Thank you very much. And how long after we start would that be due?
That would have to be due before the petition is filed.
Okay. Okay, so in other words, the first thing is just to file the original filing. And wait a minute, the petition is
a voluntary petition that commences the bankruptcy case, which gives us the asset protection that we want.
That's all one step. So the hourly rate is just prior to the petition, but we don't get any protection until the petition is filed.
Correct.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. Any further questions?
I have one further question, Nancy Sorden.
Okay, Ms. Sorden.
I was under the understanding that you were going to be with us during the closed session. Are you still going to be with us during the closed session?
I don't know if I have the time to do that, but if we could get this done now, I'd appreciate it.
We were told that you would be in the closed session. Just want the public to know that. And I want you to know that. If you weren't told that, then somebody was publicized.
I apologize if I don't know the protocol of how you guys...
Was it your fault? No, somebody should have told you. Somebody should have told you.
Well, we are over time for the open session as well, Nancy, I think.
This is Benny, so I have a question.
Having a problem. Next, does anyone else have a question for Mr. Strzok?
Bernice, she has a question.
Yes?
Mr. Chair, this is Benito.
Okay, you want to be on the stack, Benito?
Gotcha. Yeah, well, I have a question for the chair more so than for the chair.
I'm sorry, but there was someone on the stack just before you. I think it was Ms. Washington or Ms. Turner. I had a hard time hearing them. If I could at least know who that was?
I believe it was Andrea Turner.
Okay.
This is Mike Spilak. I'm not on the stack.
Okay, it was Ms. Turner then.
I'm not on the stack. The question was answered already. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess there's nobody before Benito. Mr. Diaz, what's your question?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to understand why are we talking about bankruptcy in open session? Unless we're trying to invite Empire State to go ahead and execute its judgment.
Well, that was handled earlier in the meeting. It was put on the agenda. This body voted for it, I didn't call this meeting. The members who called this meeting put that on the open agenda, and no one moved to have the discussion, moved to closed session either. And
we would have not able to.
Oh, my God. Yeah, actually, right now, if Mr. Diaz, for example, said, I move that we move this to closed session, we would probably have to vote on it, provided it was seconded.
The effect was already done.
But I'm sorry, Ms. Chesnev, you're out of order because I didn't call on you. Mr. Diaz, does that answer your question?
Yeah, you gave me an idea. So I move that this discussion during open session be closed and moved at best to closed session.
Is there a second?
Oh,
second.
Sorry? Thank you. And again, if you're, there's a little background noise, please, if you don't plan to speak, mute your phone. So let's just go to a quick vote on whether or not we take this, and I assume as the first item, Mr. Diaz, on the closed session?
I don't know. I can't say that.
Please.
Okay, well, in the closed session. Are there any objections to moving, to stopping this discussion in open session and then moving it to closed session? Are there any objections? Okay, are there any objections to closing this and going to closed session?
Yes. It's done.
Mr. Chair, I object. We've already pretty much covered a whole lot of the topics out there for everybody to listen to. I object.
Thank you, Ms. Turner. In that case, we would have to go to a vote.
On the floor for 20 minutes anyway. That was prior to this one. And it seconded.
Point of information. Catherine.
And there were no objections at the time. Well, whose question is that?
Catherine.
Catherine, what's your question?
I believe that our lawyer said that he wouldn't be able to stay. Didn't we?
Right. I don't know if he has very much time left.
Didn't we ascertain if he has the ability to stay?
And I'll just to let you know, Mr. Strzok, if we were to adjourn this meeting right now, it would take us at least 5 to 10 minutes before we would be ready to ask you questions again. Would you be
however
able to?
You want to handle, however you want to handle it is fine with me.
Okay, then I'm going to try to expedite matters as fast as I can. Mr. Diaz made a motion that we, I believe it was seconded. Who seconded that motion?
Brown.
Thank you, Brown. Mr. Brown. To close this discussion and move it to the closed session. And there was an objection, so we're going to vote on it. A yes vote will stop all discussion on this matter and move it directly into closed session. I guess I should ask Mr. Diaz 1 second. I have to check the time here. Well, yeah, we would actually just move directly into closed session. Or no, we would have to determine whether or not we would handle the last item on the agenda. At any rate, a yes vote stops this, and we'll pretty much have to move us into closed session so we could have time to discuss
okay.
it.
Okay, no problem. Okay, Grace, Aaron?
Yes.
Grace is yes. Okay, Jonathan? David Beeson?
Yes.
Jim Brown?
Yes.
Adriana, question A?
Delayed, but yes.
Okay. Bill Folger?
Pass.
Pass, okay. Catherine Davis?
I abstain.
Okay. Benita Diaz?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Wanda Grana? Ron Jane Goodman?
Here.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Ken Offer? Ken? Ken Offer? Okay, not getting you. Barbara Mark?
Abstain.
Okay. Sherry Roberts? Mansour Sabah? Mansour? All right. PM Scruggs?
Abstain.
Okay, abstain. All right. Nancy Soda? Nancy? All right. Alex Steinberg?
Yeah.
Alex Steinberg? Okay, Steinberg is yes. Tamaka is yes. Temba Shibanda?
Yes.
Okay, Temba is yes. Andrea Turner?
Abstain.
Okay, abstain. Okay, Mascara? Washington?
Yes.
Okay, Mascara is yes.
So I have 11 yes and 5 abstention. So we go to closed session.
Okay, we're going to go to closed session. Let me give you just some quick instructions before to resolve the problem with this system. I figured out Mansoor Sabah is still unable to get in, but when I undo and re-end this session, everybody should be able to call back in using your normal code, which would also help me figure things out if it didn't work. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you have a code where you called in and you got in now, use that code either way. However, I'm going to now adjourn this meeting.
Carter.
We can move into closed session.
Thank you.
Collect all the calls.
Yeah, we take
and I'm just going to remind Aki and Sabrina to be sure to refresh your browser and reopen Maestro. And I think this is going to solve it. I think what's good, well, I won't explain. We'll just go into
session. If I could see Maestro, we could see who's actually on the call.
So I hear.